Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1, find that scripture there. Faith, come on and sing for us, and we'll enjoy this evening. And then, ushers, we have the handout. We'll be ready to go with that as soon as she's done singing. God bless you, Faith. Proverbs chapter 1. Ushers, you have the handout there. Let's get those out to everybody just as quickly as possible. And again, last week we started in the book of Proverbs. We will not be going verse by verse. However, the first several verses in chapter 1 are very foundational. And so I do want to give some attention to those like we did last week to the first. We did, I think, the first four verses last week. I want to look at 5 through 9 tonight. And then after tonight, as the Lord just directs, we'll get a couple of lessons maybe from each chapter and talk about living wisely. Of course, that is the theme of the book of Proverbs. We'll not review what we had last Wednesday night. If you didn't fill in every blank, see me afterwards. I'll try to remember what those were or catch somebody else. Maybe they got everyone filled in. We'll go through these tonight and hopefully learn a little something here that will help us. Did we have enough, everybody? All right, very good. Thank you, for your ushers, for your help. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful that you love us, and thank you that you do show us the way to take. If we'll just wait on you and delight ourselves in you and your word, God, you always come through. Tonight, we pray your blessing on the lesson. Teach us and instruct us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be wise as we study through this book of wisdom, and help us to have a heart to learn, especially our young people, but everybody. May you touch us tonight, in Christ's name. And amen. Proverbs is the book of wisdom penned or gathered by the hand of the wisest man in his day, Solomon. Still to this day, even in the realm of the secular, people refer to the wisdom of Solomon. You know, I was thinking about that. It's quite amazing to consider how hard the secular world tries to minimize the Bible, and yet in the world's own vernacular, they reference Bible stories and truths. People talk about David versus Goliath all the time. They use that little, they use that vernacular. They talk about possessing Solomon-like wisdom. They talk about going into the den of lions. Now, where do you reckon they got that? So it's just amazing to me that man in his best effort cannot shut out the light of God's Word. Just can't do that. And I was thinking about that. We talk about the wisdom of Solomon. That's one of those things that even the world refers to. And even amongst their effort to minimize the Bible, they can't help but talk about it from time to time. Let's look at living wisely, principle number one tonight from the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Principle number one, the wise seek to get wiser. The wise seek to get wiser. Verse number 5, the Bible says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So principle number one, the wise seek to get wiser. So the book of Proverbs we talked about last week largely has as its target the young and the simple. Again, simple not meaning mentally slow, simple meaning young. Simple meaning having a lot of room in life for influence, okay? They've not narrowed down their belief system yet. That they're in the process of doing that. And that's one reason why the book of Proverbs was written, to help them narrow it down. But even though the target crowd may be the young and the simple, it's also for those who have already attained wisdom. The wise will truly get wiser. You see, wise people are never satisfied with what they have learned. They never reach the level where they quote unquote know it all. There is always something to learn, some wisdom to gain, and the wise person has a heart to learn it. Someone said, I am ignorant of many things, but not of my own ignorance. I thought that was a pretty good quote. I am ignorant of many things, but not of my own ignorance. I was thinking, as I was putting this lesson together on Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning, one of the two, down in Quincy as we waited for the service, I was thinking about wise men seeking to become wiser, and how that a wise man possesses a hunger for wisdom. He never thinks like he's arrived. And I can remember, you know, going to pastor school so many years up in Hammond, and I remember when it got its start out Marion Avenue when I was there, we often had evangelist Dick Seaton in to preach for us. He was one time a pastor out in Colorado, and Dick Seaton was really the man instrumental in getting pastor school started, because it was Dick Seaton who called Dr. Hiles and said, would you please let me come and spend a week, Monday through Friday, with you, and would you please spend a little time with me in teaching me about the administration of your church and all the ministries, and would you give me a little time with your staff members to just interview them? And Brother Hiles said, yes, come on out. So Dick Seaton came and he spent a whole week with Jack Hiles and Jack Hiles' staff. Went back out to Colorado, started putting some of those things to work, and the church started to grow. And some of his pastor friends said, what's going on? He told them. He said, well, I spent a week out in Hammond. Next year, three or four pastors called and wanting to come out. And Dr. Hiles said he started getting calls from pastors wanting to come out and learn. And finally, he just said, you know what? I can't tie up my staff all the time with these pastors that want to come and learn. So we're just going to set a week aside. For years, it was the third full week in March. And pastors by the thousands and used to, in the old days, from all denominations, I wouldn't say all denominations, but it was regular that Assembly of God pastors were at pastor school. It was regular that Church of Christ pastors, I mean guys that didn't even preach salvation by grace, were at pastor school to learn about church building. And it all got its start from one pastor who just wanted to learn more. Wanted to learn more. And I never forget the years that I was there, every year that I attended. And I quit going after Brother Hiles died. I spent half a week there and decided it wasn't the best thing anymore. But anyway, I never forget all the years that I went. You know who sat on the front row of pastor school every year, year after year on the front row, was Brother Jack Treber. Brother Jack Treber has been 40 years pastoring out Golden State at North Valley Baptist Church, over four, in his 41st year out there. And they'll run between 2,000 and 3,000. They got a wonderful college and turned out a lot of great graduates and missionaries. And here he was with a church running almost 2,000, sitting on the front row of pastor school every year, trying to get in as much as he could, because a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man will do that. Folks, if you ever lose the hunger to learn, now think about what that means. Think about what that means. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, okay? So the principle is the wise seek to get wiser. You know, I think about this verse, Luke chapter 2, verse number 52. The Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom." Now, he's a 12-year-old boy. He increased in wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe that at age 12, Jesus was as much God as he was at age 32? I do, don't you? I believe he was as much God as he ever was. I don't think he was ever any less God than he ever was God. You know what I'm saying? He was as much God as he ever was. And the Bible says he increased in wisdom. Now don't expect me to explain that verse to your satisfaction. I can't do that. But just take it at face value for what it says. And here's what it says to me. The one who even possessed complete wisdom increased in wisdom. Now, I can't put it in words. Okay, I can't explain it. How does perfect wisdom become more perfect? But I just know what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom." So there's that increasing in learning. Okay. Now I want you to notice before we leave this. I want you to notice how the wise increase in learning and understanding. Look at verse number 5 again. A wise man will hear. Will hear. You know, the ability to increase in learning is not mainly found in monologue, dialogue, or debate. You know where the greatest opportunity to increase in wisdom is? Listening. 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 Boy, I'll tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. You know what? In church services, it takes character to pay attention. You know, I see a lot of things from the pulpit up here, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, week after week after week. And a lot of times what you'll see is you'll see people lose focus. Just see people lose focus. They'll just get staring off back here at the wall or the curtain or over here. They're not even staring. They're lost in thought about something else rather than concentrating. You know, and I understand it's difficult because I sit in church services once in a while and it takes character. It takes purpose. It takes a conscious effort to make sure that you don't miss anything. Because sometimes, you know, sometimes everything you need is wrapped up in one sentence. In one sentence or two. And you know, I'm not putting myself up as some supreme example tonight. I've been in services and I've missed things because I lost focus for a while. A wise man will hear. That's the best way to increase in wisdom is by listening. And look what it says. And the people to whom the wise listen is very specific. Look at it here. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation. Watch this. The words of the wise and their dark sayings. Do you see that? That's the wise person. The wise person will listen to the words of the wise and their dark sayings. That's an interesting statement or interesting phrase, dark sayings. Now that's obviously not referring to anything close to sinful. If you like to mark your Bible, you can circle the word dark sayings and out in the margin write Proverbs. That's what that word is. That's what those two words are talking about. Dark sayings is talking about what the book of Proverbs is. The maxims. Those statements of wisdom. Those statements of wisdom that contain unbelievable wisdom. And so the dark sayings are exactly what this book contains. Proverbs, maxims, wise sayings. Sometimes they're found in the form of contrast. Sometimes they're found in the form of a riddle. And this is another reason, again, why the Proverbs should be on our reading list consistently. The young people, young boys and girls and teenagers and even young college-age adults tonight, let me encourage you, when you get around adults who are talking, listen. Listen. Now, sometimes they're talking about ball games, and sometimes they're talking about every once in a while, you get around dad and mom and some friends, a group of adults that you're standing there, and they're talking about things that are important, things that are biblically related. And you know what? You'll learn a lot if you'll train yourself to listen. A wise man will hear. Are you listening? Are you hearing? That's what the book says. So, now, let me just say this. The desire to increase in wisdom should be motivated by two factors. First of all, there's the personal benefit, to benefit personally. That's one of the blessings of growing in wisdom and increasing in wisdom. It's pretty obvious, folks, that living wisely has many personal benefits. Okay? And again, the wise person does not glory in his wisdom. I read another quote that said, "He that thinks himself the wisest is generally the greatest fool." And that's the truth. He that thinks himself the wisest is generally the greatest fool. But hear me, you don't have to glory in your wisdom. You don't want to glory in any wisdom that you learn. But I'll tell you what, you do benefit from becoming wise. You benefit personally from living wisely. So there's the personal benefit. And then the second benefit is to benefit others. To benefit someone else who wants to live wisely. So not only will a wise person benefit personally from the wisdom they gain, but they will benefit others as well. And remember, Solomon desired wisdom to know how to lead God's people. That's what he wanted wisdom for. He didn't want wisdom for himself. That's over in 1 Kings chapter, was it 1 or 2 or 3? And he said, "Lord," God said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want wisdom to know how to lead this thy so great a people. I don't want it so I can walk around and talk about how wise I am. I want it so I can benefit, I can help others benefit from it." And God gave it to him. When you're not selfish with it. And you know, I'm not trying to set myself up as any supreme example, but I spent an hour and 15 minutes with Brother Marty from the time we got on the interstate here until the time we hit interstate. I was on Interstate 72 by the time I hung up with him. Now, y'all know where Interstate 72 is down in Champaign. That's a long haul. That's over an hour. And it was just, it had been a couple, 3 weeks since we had talked, maybe a month. He had question after question after question. And you know what it was, folks? It was all stuff that God has just taught me and I've experienced and learned in 35 plus years of ministry. Now listen, God didn't give me that just so I could talk about knowing it. God gave me that so I could turn around and help a young man who's trying to start a church with it. That's what God gives it to you for. So, I don't need to learn anymore. My life's about done, you know. No, there's somebody that can benefit from a little bit of wisdom that you gain. So there's a great reason, there's a great motivation to learning. Not only do you personally benefit, but you will benefit, you'll be able to benefit others. The more you learn, the greater potential you have to be a blessing and help to others. By the way, do you think it's any coincidence that the man who was the wisest who ever lived when he sat upon the throne of Israel, that kingdom, that country increased in riches and might and power like no other? The wisdom Solomon had was passed down to those people. And they were benefited from it. So that's one of those are the motivating factors. Living wise principle number one, the wise will seek to get wiser. All right, living wisely principle number two. You see it number six there on your handout. Living wisely principle number two. The wise live with a healthy fear of the Lord. The wise live with a healthy fear of the Lord. Look at verse number 7. Again, these first several verses in chapter 1 are foundational, okay? So that's why we're going verse by verse right now. We won't do this through the entire book. Verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The wise live with a healthy fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, of all the things that are to be learned, of all the things that are to be gained, knowledge-wise, instruction, of all the wisdom out there that's to be attained, this is the most evident, this is the principal lesson, and here it is, folks, that God is to be reverenced, God is to be served, and God is to be worshipped. And when you start with that, my friend, you're off to a great beginning. God is to be reverenced, God is to be served, and God is to be worshipped. You see, knowing that I must reverence, serve, and worship God throughout my life is the stepping stone to learning. All that I learn must be learned under that premise. All my learning must be within the premises of that kind of fear, that kind of respect for God. You see, listen, especially young people, hear me for a minute. There are some things out in the world that I can learn, but those things will not help me reverence, serve, and worship God. I don't know if you remember the little short series we did on consider and receive. And we went through the Bible and looked at some people whose lives were just abject failures. And one of them was Dinah. Remember when Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land? She didn't need to see that. She wasn't going to gain anything. There was nothing out there for her to learn that would help her reverence, serve, and worship God. And hear me, young people, there are some things that you just don't want to know about. I preach a message to teenagers at conferences and camps once in a while. called The Blessing of Innocence. And how sometimes in our youth groups and our Christian schools and churches like this and churches like theirs and others, you got young, you know, boys and girls that have been brought up and brought up correctly, and they haven't been exposed to the worldly Hollywood movies and all that stuff. And they get in groups of teenagers and groups of teenagers, and they're talking about all this stuff that's just a little bit, you know, just not the best. And they get a little, and good kids will get embarrassed that they don't know what the other kids are talking about. Don't ever be embarrassed if you don't know what they're talking about. Don't ever be embarrassed by that. There's nothing to be gained by learning anything about evil. In fact, Romans chapter 16 and verse number 19, here's what Paul said. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. I don't want you to pay any attention to that which is evil, Paul said. Here's why. Because, you know, what... The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What I'm going to learn needs to help me reverence, serve, and worship God. And I need to start with that premise. And if I start with that premise and what I learn fits into that category, it saves me from junk that's only going to pull me away from God instead of help me walk with God. You know, you think about this. Learning in the hands of one who does not begin with the fact that he needs to reverence, serve, and worship God is a dangerous thing. Let me give you an example. There's your evolutionist. There's your evolutionist. He looks at creation, and he seeks to learn more about its origin and so forth and how it all happened, but he does not begin with the premise that there is a God. He doesn't begin with the premise that he needs to serve and reverence and worship God. And he eventually, in his pursuit of knowledge that's not based on the fear of the Lord, he eventually comes up with all sorts of dangerous and ignorant assumptions because the fear of God did not shape his learning. Theory. That's what evolution is. It's a theory. It is not a fact of science. And you know it's not biblical. So here's this man. He's got a thirst for learning, but he doesn't start with the fear of the Lord. He just plunges headlong into trying to get knowledge that's not built on the premise that what he learns needs to help him worship and reverence and serve God. And he comes up with all these crazy things like we came from frogs and tadpoles and monkeys. And by the way, friend, not only is his life a failure, his end is horrible. Romans chapter 1, verse number 28 says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know who the they is in that verse? The they is the people back in verse number 18 or 19 who denied, they were given light about creation and they rejected that light and they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And God said, okay. That's how you're going to grow. That's the knowledge you want. That's the learning you want. It's not built on the premise of the fear of God. It's built on the premise of, I want to know. And God says, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. Reprobate. One of the definitions of reprobate is abandoned in sin, lost to virtue or grace. Now you think about that, friend. Abandoned in sin, lost to virtue or grace. Let me ask you a question. If a man has a reprobate mind, can he be saved? I'm not making a judgment on that question tonight. But if his mind is lost to grace, you tell me. You think about that. Getting to the place where you are, you know, God just says, you know what? All this knowledge and learning, and you come out with all these dangerous assumptions and speculations, and you've rejected me, and that's what you want. Okay, that's fine. I'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. I don't know when that happens. I don't know how that happens, but I'm just telling you that's what Romans chapter 1, and it doesn't start with homosexuality or lesbianism. It starts with rejecting the fact that God created everything. That's where it starts with. Back in the chapter. So it's a horrible, horrible thing. That's what happens when you try to learn without the premise of the fear of the Lord. Everything I learn needs to help me reverence and serve and worship God. On the other hand, when you begin with the fear of the Lord and you start to accumulate learning concerning creation, you know what it does? It helps you reverence, serve, and worship God. Because you realize He created all things, including man. You realize that man is fearfully and wonderfully made. And you realize that because God created man, He will also judge man. And I'm accountable to Him, and I want to be responsible. And you see, learning under that premise helps me reverence and serve and worship God. You got learning starts with the healthy fear of the Lord. That's where it begins. So the wise live with a healthy fear of the Lord. Look at that next phrase in verse number 7. Don't miss this. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now let that phrase speak for itself. Let it speak for itself. People who have a low opinion of learning wisdom instruction, they lack a fear of the Lord. Now kids, do you see that phrase in your Bible? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. I'm just reading it to you. Now be careful about becoming best friends with somebody who has a low opinion of learning. Wisdom, knowledge, instruction. Because the Bible puts it plainly that that's a foolish, foolish person, okay? Take this from your pastor who was a very foolish young person for many years. Very foolish. I'm embarrassed to say it, but I can't change it now. So take this from me. Avoid regret. Because even though I've been saved 40 years, there are still times when I suffer regret because of the foolish way I lived as a young person. I had all the opportunity to apply myself to learn and did not use it. Did not take advantage of it. And I'm going to tell you when it's going to haunt you. When your fifth grader comes home with a little bit of, or sixth grader comes home with a little bit of a pre-algebra problem, you can't help them with it. Or an algebra 1 problem. Maybe I could get through pre-algebra, I would guess. I don't know what. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm done, so that's all over. But it was embarrassing at times. And I had it all. I had algebra 1, had algebra 2, had trigonometry, had calculus, had chemistry, had it all, but never applied myself. And I regret it to this day. Regret it to this day. So avoid regret. Don't take the attitude of a low opinion of learning. I'm talking about that kind of learning as well as the wisdom from the Word of God, spiritual learning, okay? Just avoid regret. Don't be a foolish young person. Listen, learn. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And before I leave this, look at verse number 8. I love this. We're going to finish up with 8 and 9, but look at verse number, where does this begin? Okay, because he says in verse number 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So where does this begin? Look right at verse number 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. You know where the beginning of knowledge, this fear of the Lord, you know where it starts? At home. It starts at home. It starts with dad. It starts with mom. Now, it's assumed that dad and mom both possess the necessary fear of the Lord. And young people, if you've got a dad and a mom who fear the Lord and they want to honor God and serve God and worship God and reverence God with their life, you are set up to have a wonderful opportunity to learn. Don't blow it. Don't blow it. I love the wording of the verse here. Look at this, what he says. He says, hear the instruction of your dad. Then he talks about, and the law, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Isn't that interesting? He calls the instruction. He said, the dad instructs and the mom lays down the law. Yeah. And why is that? Who's with the kids? Hear the instruction of your dad. You see, dad goes without the house. Dad goes to provide for the family. Dad teaches you how to make an honest living. Dad teaches you how to ethically conduct your business and how to care for those for whom you are responsible. How he wants you to live. He goes without the house. He can't be there all day. But in word and example, he instructs you. Don't miss it. And then hold to the law of your mom. Mom stays within the house, teaching how to live. By her words, her attitudes, her spirit, her actions and morals, she demonstrates the laws of wise living. And you put the two together, you've got a dad that fears the Lord, and his words and his example are instructing you. And then you've got a mom that you're home with who lives and speaks and attitude and spirit right with the Word of God. And young people, you are set up. I was thinking about this when I was writing this. We have some great potential in this room right here because we have dads and moms who are saved and have the opportunity to live in the fear of the Lord. Now, 10 babies last year. And those are pretty young couples. And not just the 10 that were up here on Sunday, the 7 plus the 3 that were out of town. But I'm talking about the rest, many of the rest of you. You got a dad and a mom who are saved and they are living in the fear of the Lord. They reverence, they worship, and serve God. And now you've got children being born to those dads and children being born to those moms. And what an opportunity it is for these children to learn both how to make a living and how to live. You know, a lot of people can make a living. But it seems like very few people know how to live. And if you've got a dad and mom who fear the Lord, they're trying to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of His Word. This is what the proverb, the wise man, is talking about. Don't miss it. Don't miss it, man. You ought to be talking with your dad. Young men, I'm not just talking about elementary school boys. I'm talking about college age young. I'm talking about men, young men making life decisions. Marriage, vocation, career, whatever. You got a dad who has a healthy fear of the Lord? Don't minimize that, man. Maximize it. Use what God has given you. And generations can be influenced if we learn and practice the second principle of living wisely, and that is the wise live with a healthy fear of the Lord. Not scared, but a reverence, an attitude of service, an attitude of worship. They live with that. Now look at verse number 9. I love this. We're going to be done. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now, before we look at this, think with me. One of the signs of royalty is the ornament worn on the head. What do we call that? Crown. And the chains worn about the neck. The jewelry. Crowns and chains are symbolic of power and wealth. Right? You see a king sitting on his throne. He's got that crown that's sparkling with diadems and gems and diamonds. And he's draped around his neck. He's got the golden chains and the silver. And you look at that and it symbolizes, it represents power. It represents wealth. Now, Solomon said that learning the principles of wisdom, learning instruction from your dad and law from your mom and living in the fear of the Lord is like wearing the ornaments of a crown on your head and chains around your neck. What Solomon is saying is, folks, those kind of things, instruction and wisdom and learning, are far more valuable than gold and silver and gems and diadems. And far more valuable than power, than the power and the wealth of the world. Forget the pursuit of the ornaments of this world. Forget the pursuit of power and wealth. Forget those. And live wisely and fear the Lord and learn wisdom and instruction, because they are better than power and better than wealth. Those things will be like crowns on your head and chains around your neck throughout your life. Those things are far more valuable than the world's power and the world's wealth. You said, Dad doesn't have a lot of money. If he serves God, worships God, and reverence God, he's got something to give you far more valuable than money. You say, Mom has to scratch to make ends meet around the house. You got to sew dresses and sew skirts instead of buying them. And yeah, you know, we just don't have a lot. If your mom loves God and her spirit and her action, her words, her countenance, you know, she loves the Lord, she's got something more valuable to offer you than if she had thousands upon thousands of dollars. I'm serious as a heart attack about that. We got to reprogram our thinking in a generation of young people that we are rearing today, because we've had too many generations grow up thinking that that dollar is the pinnacle of life. And it's not. And I'll tell you what, live for it. You can lose it quicker than you earn it. A lot quicker. So I'm just saying, we got to get back to biblical thinking. Man, you got a godly home. I would give me 10,000 homes with just minimal financial wealth, with a spirit of serving, worshiping, and reverencing God, emanating from both dad and mom. I'd take 10,000 of those homes over a home with abundant wealth and no fear of the Lord. We got so much of that already. You young people got that. You got a wonderful gift from God. And you know, by the way, this is, don't forget Solomon here. He's the man who penned this, practiced what he preached. Because when God said to him, "What do you want?" Here is his opportunity. He could have had any amount of money he wanted. And he said, "I don't want that. I want wisdom." Think about it. This is the guy who's penning this. This is the man who now is writing these Proverbs, and he says, young people, hey, don't live for the power and wealth of this world, the crowns and the chains. You got a crown. It's called your dad, who loves God, worships God, and serves God. You've got a chain. She's your mother, who loves God and serves God and worships God. You learn from them. You get from them everything you can, because you'll have something more valuable than if you had tens of thousands of dollars. Man, that's foundational, isn't it? Esther, that is a tremendous set of verses there. All right, very good. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll please take the lesson, use it in our hearts and lives. I pray especially, God, for the young people of our church. And Lord, these lessons aren't just for the young. The book targets the young. But Lord, I pray that all of us, will be careful to have a heart hungry for wisdom. And God, that we'll put a premium on learning. And I do pray for the young people, though. I pray, God, this will sink into them. And I thank you for the young people who have dads and moms in this room who have a heart to know you and live for you. And Lord, they're not all in this room. Some are at work and some are even sick tonight. But you know what I'm talking about, Lord, in my prayer right now. I pray for the young people of this church who have that kind of home, that they'll see the value of it and not miss the opportunity to learn and increase in learning. God, help them, I pray. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just a verse and we'll be done.